A reading today from the book of Jeremiah and the 28th chapter. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In the same year, at the beginning of the reign of King Zebadiah of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, the prophet Hananiah, son of Asur from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place King Zedekiah, son of Jehoiakim of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Then the prophet Zedekiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak to you in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people, the prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times, prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly spoken and sent the prophet." Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord, this is how I will break the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon from the neck of all the nations within 2 years." At this, the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Sometime after, the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, "Go, tell Hananiah, thus says the Lord, you have broken the wooden bars only to forge iron bars in place of them. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put an iron yoke on the neck of all these nations, so that they may serve King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and they shall indeed serve him. I have even given him the wild animals." And the prophet Jeremiah said to the prophet Hananiah, "Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am going to send you off the face of the earth. Within this year, you will be dead because you have spoken rebellion against the Lord. In that same year, in the seventh month, the prophet Hananiah died." God's word is life.
Let us pray. Loving God, open our hearts, our minds, our very lives to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here's a mystery to consider. The people of Israel both cherished as scripture the writings of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, etc., preserving their words and revering these prophets, considering them people God spoke to. But we also find in Scripture a passage in the book of Zechariah in chapter 13 that says this, I will remove from the land the prophets and the unclean spirit. And if anyone again appears as a prophet, his father and mother who bore him will say to him, you shall not live, for you speak lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who bore him shall pierce him through, kill him when he prophesies. Words of judgment and death. They're found in the book of Zechariah. They weren't words spoken by Zechariah. Zechariah prophesied from 520 to 518 BC when Persia ruled Israel. And his words and prophecies are found in the first eight chapters, in chapters 9 to 14. Those are simply prophecies from the 3rd and 4th century that came to be joined to the book of Zechariah to give those prophecies authority. But we find in those prophecies the words of truth that the nation felt. The condemnation of prophets. Zechariah and his contemporary Haggai are the last of the prophets. Their words are in Scripture. But after Haggai and Zechariah, there are no biblical books that claim to be prophets. Malachi, the last book of the Bible, was written 50 to 70 years after Zechariah. And it speaks of priests, not prophets, as being those who take the word of the Lord to heart and teach it and speak its truths. So what happened in the decades, the centuries? What happened that led to the condemnation of prophets? We have a positive view of prophets. We think someone who speaks with a prophetic voice speaks truth. And women and men, and there were women prophets. But those prophets like Jeremiah at one time had the authority and the right to stand in the temple and speak God's word. They stood in the courts of government and they advised the leaders of the nation. They counseled kings and generals and helped shape foreign policy. That was one of the functions of prophets in ancient Israel. The prophets arose when the monarchy did, and they were a countervoice to it, reminding both the king and the people of the covenant obligation to God and the need to do justice. But the prophets also had the function of foretelling the future and making predictions about what God would bring to pass, believing that God influenced and was active in history and spoke to them. And it was this function that became problematic. We see this in the book of Jeremiah, where the prophets, like Hananiah, the prophet from Gibeon, an opponent of Jeremiah, got it wrong. In Jeremiah 28, Hananiah and Jeremiah meet in the house of the Lord and prophesy different versions of the future. The Babylonians, the most powerful empire of the time, have already attacked Jerusalem once and taken away tribute and taken away the king himself into exile. And now the Babylonians threaten again, this time to destroy the nation. But Hananiah says of this threat, thus says the Lord of hosts, I have broken the yoke of Babylon, and with 2 years I will bring back to this place the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place the king of Judah and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Jeremiah's response was, Amen. May the Lord do so. May God bring everyone back. And then Hananiah breaks the yoke, saying, Thus will God break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. But after this happened, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Hananiah has spoken falsely, and because he did so, he will die. Which the account in Jeremiah says that happened in the seventh month. Hananiah's prophecy did not come to pass. God did not remove the yoke of Babylon from the land. Babylon destroyed Jerusalem and took the people into exile. Jeremiah's, rather than Hananiah's word, came to pass. The problem was that no way existed of testing whose word was the true word of the Lord, and the nation itself was at stake. The nation's survival depended upon choosing the right word of the Lord. But the test of prophecy was its fulfillment, which made prophecy an inherently destabilizing action. And in a land wracked by war, the people grew weary of such instability, and gradually the tide turned, and the people no longer wanted prophets in their midst. And so prophecy died out in Israel. It didn't disappear completely. There were always charismatic leaders who appeared on occasion, often leading groups astray. But those people were seen more as oddities, and prophecy never regained its previous status. And it isn't thought of as something for today, but it should be. Because what most people don't realize today is that biblical prophecies found in Scripture still have a profound influence, a disturbing influence on our world. And their influence needs to be brought out of the shadows and brought to life. Because what most people don't know is that even though prophecy ceased several thousand years ago in Israel, for the last 100 years, self-proclaimed prophets have arisen, mainly in America. It's a good way to make money. Most of them have become multimillionaires by turning to the Bible and preaching on passages like the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, people like Hal Lindsey, Tim LaHaye, the Left Behind series. They've sold millions of books. They claim to predict future events, and their prophecies should not be ignored or dismissed as the strange rantings of a handful of people in it for the money, because those rantings influence foreign policy and military decisions. The disastrous military actions of the Bush administration were influenced directly by these people. These prophecies that arose from misreadings of the Bible, those positions are held today by millions of people, including Vice President Mike Pence, the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who believe that what is happening now is the beginning of the end. They believe that recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel is a necessary step to the coming back, the return of Jesus, and the rapture, which will culminate with believers going to God. They believe that all we need is a war in the Middle East and all will be well. And complicating matters in the Middle East is that certain branches of Islam believe the same, ironically believing that because Jesus is a prophet of righteousness, Jesus will be on their side, believing that theirs is a side of righteousness in a war against Western values and the impact of globalization. The danger for all is that those people are false prophets of today. They are the Hananiahs of today who prophesy a false word, speaking a word that will destroy rather than bring justice and righteousness. Because if you are so sure of your prophetic beliefs that you have it right, you don't have to do the hard work of making peace. Why would you? You're going to win. It's inevitable. And isn't that exciting? When we wrote the statement of faith, the song of faith, we wrestled with this question of false prophecy. We wanted to explicitly counter that false message of those who have arisen, whose words we considered deadly. We wanted to affirm the classic and historical teaching that good will triumph, that Jesus will return one day. All branches of Christianity believe that. And the church over the millennia has taught that. And so we affirmed that word, that Jesus will return. What we ended up saying was this: we place our hope in God. We sing of a life beyond life, a future good beyond imagining, a new heaven and a new earth, the end of sorrow, pain, and tears, Christ's return and life with God, the making new of all things. We yearn for the coming of that future, even while participating in eternal life now. Divine creation does not cease until all things have found wholeness, union, and integration with the common ground of all being. As children of the Timeless One, our time-bound lives will find completion in the all-embracing Creator. In the meantime, we embrace the present, embodying hope, loving our enemies, caring for the earth, choosing life. To confess this is to reject the millionaire prophets of today who preach lies, who preach war as a way to peace, who preach it doesn't matter what we do. We rejected that explicitly. Instead, we confessed that we place our hope in God. We embrace the present. We embody hope. We love our enemies. We care for the earth. We choose life. Those are the words that we spoke, that we say are prophetic for our day. Those are the words we want our church to live into. Those are the words we want our church to be guided by in the future. Those are prophetic words, and our desire was to nurture and evoke the people of our church with a consciousness of a way of life and a future that is consistent with the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the prophets. Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. The prophetic word is a true word for today, and it is love God, love your neighbor, choose life. That is a prophetic word for our church. And for such a word, we give thanks this day and every day.